Hey, dear friends, I'm so glad to be with you. Today is October 25th, and we're going to read God's Word together, asking the Lord on this Project 119 to meet us in this place. Our first passage is Isaiah chapter 44, verses 9 through 20. I'm not going to read all of it. It is on that same path of what is an idol, and it's ridiculous to manufacture them and to believe they have any power. Now, it's all good, God's Word, but I'm going to read verses 9 through 11, and then I'm going to come to the end and read verses 18 through 20. Then I want to spend some time really thinking about the idols that are in our lives. I'm in a group that is studying through Galatians, and we've been talking a lot about this in recent days, so it's on my mind. Isaiah 44, starting in verse 9. How foolish are those who manufacture idols? These prized objects are really worthless. The people who worship idols don't know this, so they are all put to shame. Who but a fool would make his own god an idol that cannot help him one bit? All who worship idols will be disgraced, along with all these craftsmen, mere humans who claim they can make a god. They may all stand together, but they will stand in terror and shame. I'm going to go over to verse 18. Such stupidity and ignorance. Their eyes are closed and they cannot see. Their minds are shut and they cannot think. The person who made the idol never stops to reflect. Why, it's just a block of wood. I burned half of it for heat and used it to bake my bread and roast my meat. How can the rest of it be a god? Should I bow down to worship a piece of wood? The poor, deluded fool feeds on ashes. He trusts something that can't help him at all. Yet, he cannot bring himself to ask, is this idol that I'm holding in my hand a lie? That last sentence really got me. Is this idol, this physical thing that I'm holding in my hand, a lie? Now, I know that for us, we don't struggle much with idol worship in that sense, as though we are carving something out and believing it to be God. But the evil one is carving out places in our mind and in our heart where we are putting something other than God on the throne. And so I want to ask us some reflection questions now. What is the lie that our idols are telling us? Fill in the blank with the sentence, you need blank to be happy. What is it that recently has caused you to go reeling in your mind and your heart? Why do we spend so much time and money and energy on the things that we spend time, money, and energy on? Perhaps could they be idols in our lives? Here's one more mental exercise. When you fail to be honest or loving or generous or holy or noble, when you are angry or lying or bitter or anxious or offended, ask yourself why. What is it in your life underneath the reaction that was evoked? What is it that is in the place of God? Now, I think that the Lord would say to us, that is your idol. And He wants us to see how ridiculous it is for us to put anything in His place and transgress the first two commandments by saying that something other than Him is really God of our lives, something that we have to make us happy. And something that we bow down to when we don't obey His word, but we'll obey that thing because we need popularity or we need to feel loved or we need to look a certain way or because we desire for others to know something true about us. When something other than God has become our functional savior, we need to recognize it first and then we need to return in prayer, asking God to make Himself beautiful to us again, asking God to help us to desire to do everything we can to spend as much time and money and energy on His kingdom as we do other things that bombard us. It's not very comfortable to talk about idols, but I think the time for reflection is now. Lord, You've only given us a certain amount of time on this earth, and we want to spend our time well, knowing that relationship with You and following You is the only path to pure joy. All right, let's move on over to Acts chapter 19, verses 11 through 20. I love this first sentence. It says, God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles. I'll continue to read verses 12 through 20. When handkerchiefs or aprons that had merely touched his skin were placed on sick people, they were healed of their diseases, and evil spirits were expelled. A group of Jews was traveling from town to town casting out evil spirits. They tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus in their incantation, saying, I command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a leading priest, were doing this. But one time when they tried it, the evil spirit replied, I know Jesus, and I know Paul, but who are you? Then the man with the evil spirit leaped on them, overpowered them, and attacked them with such violence that they fled from the house, naked and battered. The story of what happened spread quickly all through Ephesus to Jews and Greeks alike. A solemn fear descended on the city, and the name of the Lord Jesus was greatly honored. Many who became believers confessed their sinful practices. A number of them, who had been practicing sorcery, brought their incantation books and burned them at a public bonfire. The value of the books was several million dollars. So the message about the Lord spread widely and had a powerful effect. When I read this passage through the first time, I was a little bit nervous thinking about how people probably wanted Paul to be a god as well. Because if he had a handkerchief that had touched him and then they were healed, by touching that handkerchief, it seems miraculous. But Paul and Luke, also here, the writer of Acts, are very careful to remind us that it's not the power of Paul. Rather, as it says in verse, 17, the name of the Lord Jesus is to be greatly honored. And this reminds me of something important for us who are trying to share a good word about Jesus, that Jesus is not pleased when we make ministry about us and how we did and desiring fans. Rather, He is pleased when we are dependent totally upon Jesus Christ, and everything that brings fruit is done in a way where we will turn the glory back over to Him. Let's end today with Psalm 104, verses 14 and 15. You cause grass to grow for the livestock and plants for people to use. You allow them to produce food from the earth, wine to make them glad, olive oil to soothe their skin, and bread to give them strength. Hey, thanks for listening along as we read God's Word together. Remember, tomorrow is Trunk or Treat and Worship together. But if you're like me, you're either getting ready with your trunk or getting your kids' costumes together, or perhaps you hadn't planned to come to Trunk or Treat. I would encourage you to make this a church family event where you come and interact with those in our fellowship. As we end, let us pray together using the themes that we have read today in the scriptures. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank You for Your word, even though it is a sword sometimes that pierces us in our hearts. Reveal to us, O Father, the areas of our lives where we have idols that are telling us lies. that are telling us we have to have them in order to be happy or known or seen. Restore to us the joy of our salvation. Take away over desire for things other than you and your kingdom. Lord, would you do many miracles in our midst? And as you do them, help us not to think of ourselves as more or greater by the power of our prayer. Rather, the power of you, the one to whom we pray. And so we do ask and lift up to you those who are in need. And we ask for your healing touch. We pray for all those on our prayer list in body, soul, and mind. And then as the psalm instructs us, you have given us so much in your creation for our good. The food that we have is a gift from you. And we are grateful for the strength that you provide. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.